You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin's unusually warm winter weather has caused problems for some of the state's outdoor industries that rely on snow and ice. And it's had an impact on a state industry that's also a tradition. Many maple syrup producers have already started tapping their trees for sap weeks, maybe even months earlier than a typical year. An early tree tapping season creates challenges of its own. It could also make for a longer season and potentially more production. We're checking in on how this year's maple syrup season is going in Wisconsin, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you or someone close to you tap maple trees for sap? What are you seeing in your area, your own backyard? Are you a fan of Wisconsin maple syrup? Do you have questions about how it's made and the industry here in our state? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Tony Johnson is a forestry outreach specialist and natural resources educator for UW Extension. He's the project manager for the UW Extension Maple Syrup Program. Tony, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob, thanks for having me. Really excited to be on the show today.
Now, my understanding is usually you'd look at the calendar and right about now would be sap season in Wisconsin, right? What's going on in reality?
Yeah, that's right. We're having a pretty atypical year this year. I was actually, one of the events I was hoping to mention is the annual first tree tapping from the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association is scheduled to take place this weekend. But if you know any maple syrup producers in the state, most of them are actually wrapping up their production for the season this year. So we've had a remarkably early start and oftentimes for a lot of folks, early finish to the season this year. So it's been very, very abnormal.
Can you talk us through why our weird winter weather has led to this early run of sap?
Yeah, in talking with the state climatologist Steve Avarice in preparation for the show today, he described this winter as more of a non-winter. We saw some really warm temperatures in January, and coupled with the lack of snowfall, we didn't really see the ground freezing in many parts of the state this year. So all those three factors put together just led to a situation where the sap was flowing really early this year. Many places of the state, it was in January. Oftentimes, as I mentioned, March is the typical tapping season in Wisconsin, but syrup producers in the state know that you have to be ready for whenever the weather is right. So last year was a little bit earlier than typical. Most folks were doing most of their sap harvesting in February. And then this year, again, we just were pushed a couple weeks earlier. And that was kind of that trifecta of the warm temperatures, the lack of snowfall, and also the lack of freeze that just allowed those trees to get those conditions early that caused the sap flow.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I was reading, I've never tapped maple syrup, but sap for maple syrup. As I understand it, the ideal when it's running is you want to freeze at night and then warmer during the day. So it's kind of that freeze and thaw is helping pump it out. Is that the ideal condition?
Yeah, exactly. So to simplify things, you're basically using that freeze-thaw cycle to create pressure inside of the tree that will, you know, on a perfectly sealed maple tree will allow the sap to run up to the buds in the outermost branches in order to start the growing process for the season. But then when we tap a maple tree and put our the spile in, we're creating that wound that allows the pressure to push the sap right out of that spile, and then we're collecting the sap from the tree. And again, it's just based on the temperature differences that you get with that freezing and thawing. So yeah, typically in spring, you've got that time of the year, again, is often in March when your nighttime temperatures will get down below freezing. And then when the sun is out during the day, you'll get those warm temperatures. And then when it's warm during the day, you'll see those really active sap flows. And then oftentimes at night, when it freezes again, it'll shut down. So you'll kind of have those periodic flows just during the warmest parts of the day.
Now we're seeing an earlier sap season for maples. I'm sure the numbers will be rolling in for a while now, but are you getting any sense from people, Tony, about the quantities they're getting? Is it more than usual, less than usual, normal?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I'm hoping we can get some folks from across the state to call in today, and particularly folks who have records from the last couple of years that can compare the production this year with what's happened in the past. the producers that I've talked to, you know, most of them have not reached their kind of production goals for the season at this point. And because of how warm we've gotten this week, a lot of parts of the state are seeing trees start to bud out. And once those buds start emerging, the sugars within the trees change and the sap will no longer be good for making maple syrup. So the numbers are pretty tough to gauge. I know some producers who have said, particularly in the last week, they've seen record sap flows and, you know, might be able to make up for a slower start to the season. Traditionally what happens is the USDA has a survey of producers in the state every year. So we don't get the actual firm numbers until midsummer, usually around June, they release their production statistics. And it's hard to say. For my initial guesses, I'd say we're probably a little bit behind yet, but there might be some potential in parts of the state that are still a little bit cooler to make up for that you know, lack of production in the next coming weeks.
Tony Johnson is with us with the UW Extension Maple Syrup Program. And as you heard, you can help Tony out if you tap maple syrup or someone in your family does. How is it going this year? Did you get that early start? Are you getting a typical amount? Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Tony, can you talk about the variety of producers of maple syrup, from the bigger commercial to the, you know, the backyard folks? What is our mix in Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's one of the fun parts of my position as a maple syrup project manager with UW Extensions. I get to work with producers of all different sizes. So here in Wisconsin, we've got folks that are, you know, tapping one to two trees in their yard and cooking it in small stock pots over propane fuel and doing, you know, a very small scale production for family or maybe handing out gifts, all the way up to large scale commercial producers who are, you know, working as maple syrup producers as their full-time job. So there is quite a bit of variety there. I think, you know, one of the interesting things about Wisconsin is we are currently fourth in the nation in terms of maple syrup production. But the United States in general is far behind Canada. But here in Wisconsin, although we are fourth, there is a ton of potential for growth. So Wisconsin, although we trail Vermont, New York, and Massachusetts in terms of production, we've got more untapped maple trees on our landscape than any other state. So there is a lot of room for growth, and that's a big part of my project here with UW Extension. We've got a USDA grant funded project to try to really understand what the needs are of producers at different scales. Everything from energy efficiency projects for large scale producers who are, you know, making large investments in their business enterprises to thinking about some of the needs of, you know, small scale producers who are just looking for opportunities to get their family out into the woods and think through some of those small barriers to production that we can assist with.
Let's start at that small end of the scale. Now, say somebody's eyeing some untapped potential in those few maple trees in their backyard. What is the minimum they would need to do to get set up to start tapping and then, importantly, processing the sap into syrup?
Yep, that's right. So the first step is always going to be a positive identification of your maple trees. There's a couple of different species of maple trees that you can tap, and there's also trees that are not maples that are tappable to make syrup. So folks in Alaska, where there's not sugar maples, they'll tap birch trees to make birch syrup. You can tap walnut trees to make walnut syrup. But here in Wisconsin, since we have such a great supply of maple trees, and the sugar maple has the highest sugar content of any of the maple species, that's going to probably be the preferred tree for folks. But I'd also encourage people, if they don't have a sugar maple or don't have access to sugar maples, think about red maples and silver maples as other opportunities, as well as box elders. So step one is just positively identifying those trees and knowing what species you're working with. If you've got a sugar maple, a red maple, or a silver maple, the equipment you're going to need is pretty inexpensive, and there's a lot of different opportunities to kind of mix and match what you're using to make it a relatively inexpensive hobby. So what you're going to basically need a drill bit to tap the tree. So you're just drilling a small hole into the tree. You'll need a spile or a tap, which you will pound into the hole that you drilled in. And then you'll need some kind of a container to collect the sap that drips out of that spile. So folks will use bags. There's specific maple sap bags that you can purchase at Fleet Farm or any hardware store pretty inexpensively, or else you can just put a drill hole in a bucket and use a, you know, a 1 gallon bucket hanging from the tree, or maybe use a small piece of the maple tubing to connect the spile to a 5 gallon bucket on the ground. And then once you're actually collecting the sap from the tree, the next step is going to be getting all that sap together in a bulk container. And that could be something as simple as 5 gallon buckets or a cooler. And you're basically just holding your sap until you're ready to cook it. And then once you have your sap all ready to cook, you got to remember that that's a perishable food product. So it's got to be kept at a cool temperature, which oftentimes works out pretty well in the spring when it's cool. You can find a kind of a chillier part of the backside of a hill, maybe shovel some snow around your containers and keep those insulated until you're ready to cook. And then there's a lot of different opportunities or ways that you can actually evaporate off the water within the sap to cook down to your syrup. And that could be something as simple as, I said, a stock pot before with a propane burner. What I use on my small scale operation is some buffet pans, the stainless steel hotel buffet pans. You can get 8-quart or larger pans, and basically I'm just putting those over a fire and continuing to burn and boil my sap until it reaches that consistency of the syrup. And then once you get the sugar content exactly to the point where you're ready to bottle your syrup, you're going to be taking that finished product, filtering it, and then bottling it at a high temperature to create a shelf stable finished product. So by the end of this process, you can basically have a maple syrup on your shelf that could last for years and years. And at each point along the way, there are opportunities to invest a lot of money and increase your production and invest a lot in your equipment, or else you can kind of just recycle and use other supplies you have and do it pretty cheaply as well.
We're talking to forestry outreach specialist Tony Johnson about UW Extension's maple syrup program and how warmer winter weather affected syrup production here in the state. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Hey, I know you're out there. You've called in the past. I know some of you tap trees and make syrup yourself. Call in now at 800-642-1234. Let us know how it went for you this year. Perfectly normal, earlier than usual, bigger or lesser runs of sap. Join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us about your sap experience this year. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Tony Johnson, forestry outreach specialist and project manager for the UW Extension Maple Syrup Program. He's with us today to talk about this year's maple syrup season in Wisconsin. As the warmer winter weather led to an early start to tree tapping, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of Wisconsin maple syrup? Do you have questions about how it is made? If you tap trees, make your own syrup. Love to hear what you're seeing this year. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Joe is with us in Green Lake. Joe, hi.
Yeah, hey, Rob. Hey, Tony. Good to talk to you.
What did you want to ask about, Joe?
Well, my question's a little bit off center here, but I'm planning on planting some new maple trees on my property. I'm just wondering how long a maple tree might take before it would be a good producer.
Oh, that's a perfectly on-target question, Joe. Tony, that's thinking for the future there. How long does it take for a baby maple to start producing enough sap to be worth tapping?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's going to depend a lot on the site condition. So if you're planting a maple tree into optimal growing condition, it's got plenty of water and light and protection from competition, and that's going to include, any of the perennial weeds like grasses that could really inhibit the growth early on, or else competition from other forest trees as it emerges will be kind of your big variables, and thinking through how fast that tree is going to potentially grow. We generally advise folks not to tap maple trees before they're in that 10-inch diameter at breast height. So if you walk up to the tree and about chest height, we want to see a tree that's about 10 inches across before you're tapping. And that will allow you to sustainably tap that tree, you know, kind of into perpetuity from that point on. Because as you get to a tree that's at least 10 inches across at chest height, once you tap it and the next year when you come back to tap that tree again, you'll rotate over 4 inches. And you, at that point, by the time you rotate each year and get all the way back to your original tap hole, you'll have seen enough growth on there to tap that same spot again. So with all those caveats, I would say, you know, you're going to have well over a decade before those trees are potentially tappable, I would say.
Joe, give us a call in 10 years. We'll try your product. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Tony, how much sap does it take to make one unit of maple syrup after processing?
So the general rule is about 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup. So that is why we advise folks when you're cooking your sap down to do that outside. If you're evaporating that much water off in your kitchen, your wallpaper is going to probably peel off. So I will oftentimes bring my sap in when it is almost finished to finish it on the stovetop, and it adds a little bit of sweetness in the air and a little bit of humidity in the, you know, the kitchen in the winter. But yeah, it's going to be almost a 40-to-1 ratio from a generic tree. But it is important to know that sugar maples, the trees will vary quite a bit individually in their the sugar content of their sap, and that can vary year to year, and it can vary individual to individual. So we will often see that large trees that are in yards or on boulevards that don't have any competition, and they're, you know, they've got 365 degree canopy exposure to the sunlight, those trees will often have the highest sugar content of any maple trees that we test. And then they're oftentimes in a woodland where your maples are competing with other forest trees, and the canopies are much smaller, the sugar content will be less. So you could see, you know, potentially 4% sugar on a yard tree, and, you know, anywhere down to 1% sugar in a tree if it's, you know, a poor year.
Let's go back to our callers. Anna is with us in Lac des Flambeaux. Anna, hi.
Hi. We just actually just finished up our second boil in Lac des Flambeaux, where our trees aren't budded out yet, thankfully, and we're seeing great production right now. Been tapping out just as a family for many, many, many years, and my parents are in their 80s, and my mom is 83, still out there hauling buckets of sap for our boils. But one question I had was, we tap often the same trees year by year, and some years those trees produce like crazy, and sometimes they only produce a little, and I was wondering what's the reason behind that when it's the same tree from year to year.
Interesting, Anna. Thanks for the call. Tony, why is one tree prolific one year, not so much next year?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I would ask Anna if she's noticing those changes in all the trees in the sugar bush. If, you know, there may be a year when all the trees are relatively less productive. But honestly, that's I don't have a why an individual tree would vary so much. You got to kind of look at those microclimatic conditions and, you know, exactly where that tree is. And there might be some moisture issues or some tree disease issues. Wisconsin woodlands have seen a lot of insect pests in the last couple of years, a couple that have done some defoliating on maple species, and that could be part of the factor too, but I don't have a great answer.
Anna, thanks for calling in and for sharing that family tradition with us. And mentioning Lac des Flambeaux reminds me, Tony, I believe the maple syrup program at UW Extension works with tribal producers as well as the bigger businesses and the smaller hobbyists.
Yep, that's right. And I did want to comment on that. I think one on Anna's comment about the intergenerational opportunities that maple syrup brings. And I think that's one of the really fun aspects of this activity. You know, it really has a way of bringing kids and grandparents and, you know, everybody together, particularly around this, you know, one activity and one time of year. But on the extension program side of things, we do have a lot of tribal partnerships right now. And we actually had another grant-funded project called the Rural Partnerships Institute at UW Extension, where we are doing some indigenous food research and partnering with tribes. And we actually recently hired on an indigenous tribal sovereignty food specialist who's going to be spearheading some of the maple activities this year. But last winter, we hosted several maple syrup learning exchanges with different tribal partners in Wisconsin and Minnesota. And yeah, I think that's definitely one of the many stakeholders that we are really interested in engaging. And, you know, part of our initial program with an extension was to kind of jump back into the maple world and try to understand what the needs are of different producers in the state. And we definitely found that the tribal folks that we were working with had a little different lens on some of the activities and a little different historical connection that we wanted to tap into, no pun intended. So that is definitely a big part of our programming.
And just briefly, Tony, what's your favorite thing to do with the maple syrup once it's made?
Well, I've got three kids under six at home, and we are all about the pancakes and waffles in the morning. So that's my goal. I got to produce enough syrup to keep the kids happy and have enough for gifts for all the friends and family. So as long as they're happy, I'm happy.
Tony, thanks so much for joining us.
Yep, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
That's Tony Johnson, Forestry Outreach Specialist and Natural Resources Educator at UW Extension and Project Manager for Extension's Maple Syrup Program, with us to talk about the maple syrup season in Wisconsin after it got off to an early start thanks to warm winter weather. Tomorrow, we'll check out this year's Wisconsin Film Festival, featuring a lot of movies made here in the state or by Wisconsin filmmakers. Get a sneak preview, that and more, tomorrow on Central Time.